I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer pain and such disgrace on Mount Calvary. I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine? I may never know why he had ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go. For whom I'm reminded of these words, I'll leave thee never. Just be true and I'll give to you a life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles until they're won. For who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine, Lord? The answer I may never know why he had ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I? But to an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I?
Thank you. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of John. John's Gospel, chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're in a study on the I Am's of the book of John. There are seven. Just a couple of thoughts about the book of John. The purpose of John's gospel is twofold. Number one, John wrote the gospel under inspiration of the Spirit of God as evidence of the deity of Jesus Christ, or as a defense of Christ's deity. The second reason that John wrote this book is to bring belief to an unbelieving world. John 20:30 and 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, these things that John penned, these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing ye might have life through his name, the deity of Christ, and faith in Christ. Those are the two reasons John wrote this book, the Gospel of John. In the four Gospels, Jesus performed 37 miracles. Now, he did many more than that, but 37 that are recorded. The Gospels record 37 miracles. Only 8 miracles are found in the book of John, the book that's written to proclaim the deity of Christ. But only 8 miracles. Of these miracles, you need to note this. 4 declare his power over his creation. 4 declare his power over his creation. Only God has power over creation. All God's people said. 3 declare his power over infirmity and disease. Only the Creator has power over the creature. 1, the 8th, 1 declares his power over death. Chapter 11, when he raises Lazarus from the dead. The Creator's ability to control even death. These 7 miracles attest to the deity of Christ. So it's no wonder that Christ would say what he said in 7 metaphorical statements, and that John would record them so that we might have identifying truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this morning we're going to look at the very first one, and it's found in John chapter 6 and verse 35. But we really need to look at this whole chapter. Now, I've never done this before. I've never preached a whole chapter in one Sunday. So if you've got roast on, it's going to roast. I'll try not to keep you any longer than is necessary. But because of how this all falls out, it's necessary that we go to the beginning and follow Christ as he walks through these experiences, people following and questioning, and then his great statement and the weight it will carry and why it carries such weight. One thing before we start, remember he's speaking to a Jewish audience. They are at toward the end of the Passover week. And we come to chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. And the feeding of the 5,000. Now, Jesus said to the disciples in this passage, when they came and said, it's near night, it's time for dinner. What are we going to do? Jesus said, make the men sit down. 5,000 men. This really was not the feeding of the 5,000, though we record it that way. It was the feeding of the 15 or 20,000. Because you have to add women and children. There were large families back then. So if there's 15 to 20,000 people sitting down in a meadow, that's a big crowd. That's a lot of people. And it would have included many who were interested in hearing Christ. Some for the right reasons, some for the wrong reasons. There would have been Pharisees here. Probably maybe some Sadducees, scribes. I don't think any priests came. But there were certainly those that were there to catch him, try and find some fault in him, try to create some problem in him. And as we look at these first 13 verses, there's three important things we need to note. Number one, I want you to notice the lad. The lad in verses 9 through 13. Andrew, Simon's brother, says to Jesus, Philip already came and Jesus said, how are we going to feed them? Philip said, 200 penny worth of bread won't feed hardly any. So there was a lad. Andrew did not bring the lad. This is so important that you notice this. I've heard this preached, Andrew brought a lad to him. He did not bring the lad. Andrew said, here is a lad which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. This implies that the lad brought the meal to Christ himself. This is an important thing. He may have come up to Andrew and said, I know that there's many here. Jesus can have my food. Jesus can have my meal. So Andrew says to Christ, there's this lad here. You remember, children often gathered around Christ. Andrew said, there's a lad here. Has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Then he adds this statement. What are these among so many? As if to say, silly lad, silly child. You remember Jesus said to the disciples, except you come as a child, except you have the faith of a child, except you see as a child, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Andrew said, what are these among so many? Verse 10, Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there's much grass in this place, so the men sat down. In number about 5,000, just men. Jesus took the loaves, these 5 barley loaves from the child. He gave thanks. He distributed to the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets full. Now what I'm going to say is speculation, but I think it certainly makes sense. Lad came with a lunch. he went home with a feast. He came with a little basket, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and took back 12 baskets full. Can you imagine his mama saying, "Son, take care of that lunch. It's all you got." He walks in the house later that night. His mama says, "Where you been?" He said, "I've been carrying in these baskets." "These what?" "These baskets." "What are you saying, son?" "Mom, I went to see Jesus. I knew he was a wonderful man. He had to feed 5,000 plus people, and I gave him my lunch, and he did it with my lunch." "Oh, son." "Really, Mom?" "That's what I've been trying to tell you. I've been carrying in for the last 15 minutes 12 baskets full of fish and bread," all God's people said. Now, there were a couple of things I want you to note. Number one, the lad came to Christ. Let me suggest to you, if you're ever going to get your need met, you have to come to Christ. If you want him to bless what you have, you have to come to Christ. He came to Christ. Number two, he brought all that he had. As meager as what we have is, all Christ asks of us is to come. Amen? The meagerest of us, the poorest of us, can come to Christ, and he will multiply our lunch. Then he trusted Christ completely. Now, how many like to play when you're little, besides me? We always played sandlot baseball and other kind of things. But when 12 o'clock came around, I beat a path to my door because I was what? I was hungry. Trust me, if you were my brother, you better not try and grab my sandwich. I think all boys are that way. This little boy was hungry. The middle of the day, and everybody was going to eat, and he was the only one that had a lunch. And to give that up was something. And so he trusted Christ, and I want you to look beyond just the lunch. He didn't just trust Christ with the lunch. He trusts Christ to provide once again for him. He was looking, I think, beyond the lunch. For he received more than he gave, all God's people said. So the lad was there. The disciples were there. Verses 6 through 8. Three things about the disciples. Number one, they did not see Christ for who he truly was. What are these among so many? 200 penny worth of bread won't feed them. They were looking at the circumstance rather than the God of the circumstance, all God's people said. They were looking the wrong place. They were looking at the bread or the money, and he said, "Have them sit down." They did not see Christ for who he was. They did see a big problem. Amen? You know what we're good at? Seeing the problem. We're good at identifying what's wrong. As Baptists, we are great at identifying what's wrong. We see the problem. They didn't see the cure.
They only saw the problem. And then they were looking to themselves for the answer. Jesus said, Philip, how are we going to feed these folks? Philip's going through it. Well, let me see. We got this and we got that. We got this. We got this. Pick this up. We got 200 penny worth of bread. I mean, if we have 200 denarii, we've got to buy that bread. That won't feed very many. They couldn't resolve it themselves. So we have two different approaches to this miracle. The lad and the disciples. Now, if you think about it, the disciples should have had the same response the lad had. The lad had the only right response. Then there was a third group of people there. We can't leave out the crowd. There are three things about the crowd. Well, there's more than that, but three I want you to note. Number one, the crowd wasn't looking to Christ. I want you to note that right away. They just were there following to watch him, to hear him, to see him, some to find fault in him. They weren't looking to be fed. And so Jesus, when he has them sit down, the first thing that happened to the crowd is they got fed by a supernatural power. Now that's important. They were fed by a supernatural power. Number two, in verses 14 and 15, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, here's the Pharisees. This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would have taken him by force to make him king, he departed again into a mountain alone by himself. They tried to resolve all of their problems in one fell swoop, one silly decision. It wasn't Christ's time. He walked away. Though they saw him in a way that they thought they understood him, he was not the Messiah coming to deliver them. He was the Messiah coming to save them. Number three, they sought him out. Now, Jesus leaves. Toward that end of that day, the disciples load on a boat and go over to Capernaum. So they're out in the sea. Jesus did not go with him. And everybody noted that Jesus didn't go with them. Those that walked around and stayed were curious. That night, the storm came and Jesus walked on the water and it scared the life out of the disciples. They said, who is it? Jesus said, it is I, be not afraid. And he got in the ship. He finished the sail with them across from where they were, probably Tiberias, to Capernaum and landed there. So there were a few hours, maybe days that passed since that miracle. But that miracle was lodged in their mind. And a group of people looking for Christ got on some other ships and sailed over to Capernaum trying to find Christ. That all happened in this same chapter. Look at verse 23. Howbeit, there came other boats to Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they ate bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. Now they take ship and they go to Capernaum. And in verse 26, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou here? How'd you get here? Jesus could have said, well, I walked on water and got in the ship. He did do that. He didn't answer that question. Jesus answered them and said, listen to his answer. This is a powerful answer. Christ now is going to confront these people. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You just wanted another feast. You just wanted me to do something else that would, listen very carefully to me, that would satisfy you. Is that all you're looking for out of Christ? To him to meet all your needs, to satisfy you? Is your vision so small? They were looking for personal satisfaction. Then Jesus says to them, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now here's an incredible confrontation. They said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They didn't want to do the works of God. They're trying to get him to say something that they could trap him with. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. You want to do the work of God? Here's the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's the work of God. That's what you need to do. You don't need to be able to feed 5,000 or do a miracle or any of those kind of things. What you really need isn't power to satisfy yourself. What you really need is power to change your life. Verse 30. This confrontation continues. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Show us a sign. Prove you're who you say you are. Show us that what you're saying is true. Give us a sign. The Bible says the Jews sought for a sign. Sought for a sign. They wanted a sign. Another miracle. Something that they could get a hold of. Hoping that they would stump him so that he couldn't do anything and say, what a phony. What a charlatan. And here's the sign they gave to satisfy themselves. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. The he there is understood. It's Moses. So they said, Moses did this. Here's what Moses did for us. Our forebears in the wilderness, they didn't have any bread. They ate bread that Moses provided. That's what they say here. Moses did a sign. Moses gave us bread. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses didn't give you any bread. Moses gave not. that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you, now he adds a word, the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the earth. He said, you missed the whole point of the miracle in the Old Testament. You missed all of the tradition. You missed what it really meant. That was simply a symbolic picture of God sending his Son. And he verifies it. Then said he unto them, then said they unto him, Lord, give us ever this bread. Jesus said, here's his answer. I am the bread of life. That symbolic picture in the Old Testament was a picture of me. The bread that God gave you that lasted for 40 years, you never missed a day, took you all the way to your home, your final dwelling, that was a picture of me. I've come, and I'll take you all the way home. I am the bread of life. And by using that statement, I am, he identified himself instantaneously to their Jewish mind as Jehovah God, the I Am of Moses, the I Am of the Old Testament, the I Am of the deliverance out of Egypt, the I Am God. And he added, I am God. I am the God who is the bread of life. Jehovah, I am God. Manna, Christ. I am the bread of life, not just to get you into the promised land, but to get you all the way home. Everlasting life. This picture is unbelievable. When he said what he said, they automatically understood what he was saying. He wasn't just making a metaphorical statement so that they could say, that's interesting. He was making a statement that said to them, you are looking at, you are talking to, you are seeing with your own eyes God. God. And they were struck by that statement. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and listen to what he says, and believe not. He just told them who he was. He just declared who he was. He just proved who he was by his miracle. And instead of them believing, they questioned him, they confronted him, they denied him. They mocked him. And he said, I've said these things, and here's what you've done. You failed to believe. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Folks, there are multiplied thousands of people today who laugh at the idea that we can actually believe that a human being was God. They make fun of us for doing so. Jesus was right in the midst of these people, and they did not believe. Jesus said, the only ones that are going to be able to believe are those whom the Father will send to me. There are a lot of folks walking around today who reject Christ, reject Christ, reject Christ, and will never come to him. Will never enjoy the family of God. Will never know what it means. They've thumbed their nose at God for years and years and years, and it's done them absolutely no good, because someday the same one is coming back again, as sure as we're sitting in our pew. And he's coming back, the Bible says, with power and great glory. Because he is God. This light of this incredible story of the bread of life is a story that begins with a picture. It unfolds into an argument, and it concludes with proof that Jesus was who he said he was, and that they were denying the Christ, the Son of the living God, whom if they would have believed, they would have had life through his name. Don't ever forget, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. All God's people said. Amen. Lord, help us to love you, be committed to you, be thankful for what you've done, and Father, for your goodness to us. How we thank you, Lord, that you have worked in our lives. And I pray, Father, that as we now take this communion time, Father, we might remember what you've done for us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. 11th chapter.